next time you stop buying land?
The power is gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And you can listen to our broadcast from anywhere in the USA or anywhere in the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And right there on the left side, there is a listen live link. Well, thanks for tuning in, and thanks for spreading the word about all of our efforts. I hope that all of you had a very enjoyable Independence Day celebration. And now that we're in the groove of the summer, we have a lot of things going to be going on. You'll be out shopping, doing things for family and friends. Make sure as you're out shopping, you look for those American-made products. Well, as we begin our broadcast today, I have with us Larkin Connolly, Mark Andel, and Rich Logis, along with me. And I want to thank our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and Steven Smolchinski for being with us. But we do have a special guest for the first portion of our program, and I'm going to ask the ever-popular Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology, to introduce him.
Guys, thank you so much, and hope everyone had a great holiday. Hey, Nick, want to thank you for coming back on. Great response from your first visit. Before I ask you to talk about your Back to the Future tour, I saw an article in Milford Now where you were surrounded by police. I mean, what happened there? Were you like, did you have an open container or something in the park? What exactly was going on with that?
Good question. Well, nice to be back with you, Rich and crew. Indeed, we had, as you may know, we're in the midst of our signature drive to get my name on the ballot as an independent candidate for Congress in Pennsylvania's 10th district. And as we've discussed previously, both parties have made it more difficult by increasing the requirement of how many signatures an independent needs. So we have to gather about 3,600 by the 1st of August. And it's not an easy proposition, first off, because there are a lot of people out there who aren't registered to vote, a lot of people who don't even want to talk politics. But the most difficult part is just reaching those registered voters who are willing to talk to you. Now, when you try to gather signatures in front of big box stores like supermarkets or shopping centers, they oftentimes will come, you know, kick you out. They don't allow any sort of that activity happening on their private property. So the last refuge for our signature gatherer is, and for myself personally, is in public areas. And recently we went to a public park for a public event, and we're gathering signatures, and we're told by the event staff that we could not be there to do that. And that's when the sort of conflict occurred, because after having spent months working on this, I refused to leave. I explained that, you know, I have a First Amendment right of free speech, which includes my right to petition as a candidate for public office, which trumps any sort of solicitation policy that this park has. And so ultimately, they called the police, and the police came and didn't wind up issuing a citation. I stayed and finished gathering my signatures that evening.
Well, Nick Triano is doing his very best to bring this type of issue to the table. And Rich, what is the situation? Why would they be barring him from, you know, getting signatures?
Well, Nick, you're running in PA District 10. What was the end result then of all this? Did they call the National Guard in to have you removed from the premises, or did you continue to keep collecting signatures?
Well, I was prepared to be physically removed if I had to be, because I think that the moment we believe that running for office and petitioning people to sign your petition is a prohibited activity in our public areas, then we no longer deserve the rights and freedoms that our country's fought so hard to protect. and so I was willing to make a stand for it. Fortunately, cooler heads prevailed on the part of the Williamsport Police Department, who wound up, like I said, not issuing a citation and called me a few days later to, in fact, say they had that the park staff had misinterpreted their local policy. So I think the lesson here is it's very important for people to know and understand their rights, because if we just caved in to the first, frankly, hot-headed event official who approached us and demanded we leave without even having a conversation, then we would have unfairly have forfeited our right to be there in a respectful way to gather people's signatures. So, but I think this also highlights the absurdity of our ballot requirement, which, like I said, unfairly discriminates against those outside of the two major parties. Luckily, in the state legislature, there's a piece of legislation called the PA Voters Choice Act, which would help remedy the gap between the signatures, or just it would just flatten across the board the signature requirement. So for people who feel sort of outraged about this requirement, anyone in Pennsylvania can help change it by getting their legislators on board to support that Voters Choice Act.
You know, Nick, last week Larkin talked about in the Eric Cantor sorry, I'm blanking on his name here.
David Bratt.
Bratt, yes, thank you. How 15% of eligible voters came out in the primary. And as I understand primary voting, as someone who is an independent, doesn't belong to a party, those voters cannot vote in a primary. Is that correct?
Correct. In Pennsylvania, independents cannot participate in the primary election as voters or as candidates.
And how about your Back to the Future tour? Our listeners want to hear about that.
Sure. Well, we have, in the month leading up to our signature turn-in in Harrisburg on July 30th, we are going across the district and spending a day in each of the 15 counties. And I am driving a 1981 DeLorean to each event. There are meet and greets in every county. The full schedule is at nicktriano.com/tour. And people have an opportunity to see the car, to meet me, and to sign my petition to get on the ballot. And the whole message of the tour is it's time we get back to a politics that serves the people in order to save the future of our country. Because there once was a time when our two-party system worked, and it was when both parties worked together. That's how we got the majority of both parties to enact Social Security, to establish our interstate highway system, to reform welfare and balance the budget. We can do it again, but it's going to take a shock to the system, which I think independents can deliver.
Well, Nick, my compliments for standing your ground and signature collecting, and my compliments for your creativity. I'm going to ask, if you would, get the flux capacitor going. Get back to 1776 and talk to our first president, President Washington, our only president, not to belong to a political party. And I bet that he'd have some interesting things to say about our parties today. And for those who are interested in the history of it, President Washington very clearly stated that political parties were likely to divide us. So my compliments on that. We're all following your campaign, and we certainly wish you luck. And as the coming months come on, undoubtedly we want to have you back on, assuming we haven't scared you off yet.
No. Appreciate the opportunity. Would love to come back on. And we're definitely keeping the DeLorean on hand. Just in case things don't go our way in November, we'll try again.
I'd also say if you can play some Johnny B. Goode on the campaign trail, pull out that guitar and play. Might not be a bad idea also.
Good idea.
You know our audio engineer, Henry, is a great guitarist, just as an FYI.
Hey, Nick, I wanted to ask you, this is Larkin Connolly. How close are you to satisfying the state the requirements for petitions?
Well, the good news is that we have surpassed the ballot requirement of 3,600 signatures, but we still have a lot of work to do, because if you submit less than half, for example, you open yourself up to a challenge. You know, someone from either party might come along and challenge individual signatures that
right.
Someone didn't cross their T or dot their I, or they put their mailing address instead of their township. And if they disqualify enough signatures on those technical grounds, then you might not get on the ballot if you don't have enough of a buffer. So we're building that buffer of extra signatures right now through the end of the month. But we're feeling confident that we'll be able to get it done.
And all of the signatories have to be voters in the 10th district.
Correct. Registered voters in the 10th.
Right. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
As a person who has collected signatures before and is quite familiar with the Pennsylvania regulations, you got an uphill battle, but good luck to you.
Thanks so much.
Nick, this is Mark Andel. Just want to say hello, and I commend you. You're living, you got that can-do spirit that we need, and I hope you realize the difference you can make by what you're doing. And it's awesome. Great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's really impressive. Nick, when you're out campaigning, make sure that you present a vision for America, because that's really what's lacking right now. We're just talking. We have so many ideas, but the lack of leadership on the national level has really caused a lot of havoc in our lives, and America's economy is really down. How is the employment situation in your district that you're looking to represent?
Well, in the 10th district, our unemployment is higher than our state and national averages. People are really hurting here, like they are across the country. People see, if they're able to find employment and keep their jobs, they're seeing their paychecks be able to be stretched less and less as prices go up. And I think that's really why we do need to have a national vision for economic growth. It begins with, I think, fixing our budget to boost consumer and business confidence. It has to go to focused efforts to keep America as the center of innovation in the world, reforming our patent system, for example. And we also need to be concerned about our deficits, but not let that get in the way of making the investments we need in the future, whether that be in infrastructure or research or education, because increasing our national competitiveness is how we're going to keep our economy growing, as there are other developing economies across the world. All that Washington has done so far is hurt our situation through a lot of the austerity measures they've passed and through all the brinksmanship that has sapped confidence. So we need to do a 180 on a national level, and I think that'll go a long way to helping communities like mine really recover.
Nick, was there a particular type of industry in your area that collapsed and caused so much unemployment?
Part of my district includes a lot of the Marcellus Shale resources that are being developed for natural gas. So that has actually blunted a lot of the impact of the recession, luckily, which is why I support the safe and sustainable development of our natural gas resources. That's the good news. The bad news is that a lot of the district is struggling, the agricultural industry, forestry here. So it's a lot of the consumer goods that are lagging because of a lack of demand out there right now.
Well, and that all comes down to, as you said earlier, confidence. Could you put a label on your political positions? Are you moderate? Are you left of the middle? Are you?
Yeah, I in the past have considered myself to be a moderate Republican. It's sort of the easiest way for me to maybe express that as someone who's fiscally conservative and socially moderate.
Okay.
But in reality, I'm really a post-partisan. I think we've dug into ideologies that are no longer valid choices. They force us into either-or decisions that in many ways should be both and propositions. For example, when it comes to our budget, we need to both reform our entitlement programs and reform our tax code. And sometimes we have to make these arbitrary decisions between both parties when we need to take approaches and the best ideas from both. So we need a new political program, I think, a new sort of ideology for the 21st century that doesn't see the debate as big versus small government, but sees government as a platform. Government as a platform to set broad national strategic objectives and then use the civil society and states and local governments and the private sector to develop solutions and scale what works. So if you think of government sort of as your iPhone or operating system and let the rest of the country sort of build apps on top of it to deal with the many challenges that we face.
You know, Nick,
I think that can, you know, sort of bridge the partisan and ideological divides we've been seeing.
Has there ever been an independent elected from the state of Pennsylvania?
That's a good question. I know that if I get on the ballot as an independent, or when I do, I'll be the first ever in the 10th district to even get on the ballot. So it's a challenge out there, and we know that we have no independents currently serving in our House of Representatives. In large part, that is because of structural reasons, as we've discussed, but it's also psychological in the sense that people don't think it's possible because they haven't seen it happen before. So fewer people run as independents and fewer people support independents. But I think the first time that it's done successfully, it will lead to a domino effect across the country once people realize what's possible in our politics today.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we had one stab at it with Ross Perot, and it was not continued by anybody. There was not a Nick Triano around to pick up the ball and continue it at that time. But I think you're really on the right track right now, because people are tired of this two-party system and they want some change.
Like I was trying to say last week, the Tea Party, and I don't know any Tea Partiers. I wouldn't know one if I tripped over them. I don't know who's the head of the party. I don't even know where their offices are. But that is a third-party movement that kind of aligns themselves, I guess, with the Republicans. But, you know, whether you believe in what they're saying or not, and if you find them to be way too far right, it's beside the point. It is, in fact, a third. It's proof that at least the country will look at and listen to a third party.
Right.
Now, Nick, I have another big question I'm going to ask you. You are going into this election under what party? Independent?
Independent, correct.
Now, would it be better if you were going under the Pennsylvania Party or the American Party or the Leadership Party, just not independent?
Well, it's a question we've considered because I can have really anything below my name on the ballot. You know, the theme of our campaign is America Deserves Better. We were thinking of that as our political body name, as Pennsylvania requires you to have, but I think independent has a lot of cachet to it nowadays. You know, 42% of Americans consider themselves to be independent. I think people are more skeptical of joining another big P party and would rather support a leader who is independent of any party.
You're absolutely, you know, Nick, you just answered all the questions I wanted you to answer in one statement, because of the unbelievable amount of people that tell me they now registered independent and they're looking for the right independent person to vote for.
Right. I mean, I just came from a meeting with a superintendent of schools in my district an hour ago who, like me, after the government shutdown, I was a Republican and disaffiliated and became an independent. He was a Democrat and disaffiliated and became an independent. He said he just couldn't take it anymore. Maintaining an affiliation with either party, that it seems so unwilling to work with each other to serve the people. So I think this will come to a head and will start to express itself as more candidates running outside the system decide to do so.
Nick, the basis of your candidacy is something that I've been talking about and banging each other's over our heads with and all sorts of things like that to have and remind voters. And ultimately, your candidacy, win or lose, is going to serve to remind people that they don't have to take the most of the time probably preordained or at least certainly heavily fixed candidates that are presented, and that ultimately the tenet of a free market is that consumers can demand choice and it can be created on that demand.
Right.
And I think those tenets fit perfectly in our elections. So we know that you need to run. We really thank you for being on.
Thank you. Pleasure to speak with you again. I appreciate you helping to spread the word, and I hope to see this movement grow.
Very good. I'll tell you, Nick, the only thing national leaders are guaranteeing us right now is another year of decline if something isn't done to help us or make our economy go up. It's movements like the Independent Party candidacy in the 10th District of Pennsylvania, like Nick Triano, or the American Workers Need You or American Workers Radio, that are making some difference. The national people really don't care because their paycheck is guaranteed week after week. All they know is that Friday comes, their money is in hand, and if something happened that week that was good, wonderful. If it didn't happen, that's too bad. And this has got to change.
I agree. Well, thanks for having me on. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Nick, and everyone, please do. Nick, let us know how the people can check you out on the Internet.
Yep, so nicktriano.com. It's T-R-O-I-A-N-O. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. And would appreciate anyone who can pitch in a few dollars or help spread the word.
Very good, Nick. Good luck to you, and keep us posted. Very important. And Rich, keep after Nick because I want to know everything what's happening to him, because from Nick, we will have growth in future areas, not only the 10th District of Pennsylvania.
Nick, thanks again.
Thanks so much.
Yes, bye-bye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Nick Triano, first of all, for being with us. You may have heard some interference because Nick was speaking to us on his cell phone, but we were really pleased to have him with us. We're going to pause for a few ads right now, and we'll be right back.
Download the Go4USA mobile app from the iTunes Store today. This is an online database which helps you pinpoint where to purchase American-made goods and allows consumers to upload product information simply by scanning the UPC code. Consumers eager to help create American jobs by searching for and buying U.S.-made products and services now have what they need in the palm of their hand. These platforms will access the same product, manufacturer, and retailer information available today and which continues to grow from the dedicated efforts of the Mobile Army. Download this great app from the App Store today and help us help each other. Buying American-made keeps American jobs. The Go4USA app will be released for the Android market very shortly. Stan's Health Foods, located at 7161 Frankfort Avenue in Philadelphia, specializes in bodybuilding supplements, health and beauty supplies, vitamins, all-naturals pet products, gluten-free foods, herbs, teas, and much more. Visit them online at stanshealthfoods.com. Stop into their location or call them at 215-332-4577 for more information. Pets Auto Tax has three convenient locations to serve you in the Philadelphia area. Stop into 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Fort Richmond, which has same-day direct link service with the DMV. Call them today at 215-427-1832. They also have a location at 5501 Harbison Avenue at the corner of Harbison and Sanger Streets, 215-533-2220. And their location at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Mr. Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Call them today at 215-423-5266. For more information, give them a call or stop in at any of their convenient locations and tell them that we sent you. The Tri-State Media Network is a radio, internet, and newspaper advertising service available to hundreds of thousands of readers and listeners throughout the Tri-State area. They promote advertisers on their internet and Facebook pages, as well as here on 860 AM. Visit them today at www.tristatemedianetwork.com or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/tristatemedianetwork. Call them today at 215-829-9200 for more information on their advertising services. And Sonia Kaminsky-Breccia welcomes you to stop in and visit her at Nationwide's Ott & Associates, located at 7967 Castor Avenue in Philadelphia. Sonia handles all of your car and home insurance needs. Call her for a quote today at 215-722-6020 and let her know that you heard about her on our show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. I'm here today with Larkin Connolly. of SCORE Philadelphia, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology, and Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And I want to thank all of them for all they are doing. We just had Nick Triano with us, and boy, I'll tell you, it's really unbelievable how politics is not playing dirty dealing when it comes to trying to restore America and what we're trying to do. It's unbelievable. And by the way, for the last 40 years, America's leaders really gave away America's wealth to foreign countries as they watched America's businesses pack up and leave. They took the money with them. They did this to satisfy their investors. And now, all these years, Americans lost time, money, jobs, and job skills. What would you add to that, Mark?
Oh, I just think you know where we've gotten to. I think it's a point of realizing how out of balance we are. And where we're at as a country, as one team, and then, you know, regroup. And first, you got to get that understanding of how we got to the point we're at. And globalization, as you know, Mike, we believe in. We want 50-50 fair trade. We know we all have to work together, and we can use the whole world, but we can't forget about our own country. We can't forget about people having a job so they can have food, shelter, clothing, and provide for themselves. But I think we are getting in the right spirit right now. I think our mission and the movement's on. I think it's very small, but it is growing. So I just think, Mike, we got to continue to do what we got to do. Tell people they can make a difference. It does matter. And vote with your dollar.
And, you know, expanding businesses in America right now is what we really need to do. We have to get out of this nightmare on our own. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to say that today we're going to mention the fact that we're all going to be working on a special initiative during the month of November. We're going to call this initiative American Made Month. In fact, if you log onto your computer and go to AmericanMadeMonth.com, it goes right to our internet site here for the radio broadcast. But what our agenda is to try to feature the companies in all states, and of course this is an open invitation to listeners everywhere in the USA, to start getting their local manufacturers out so that they'll be able to participate during November, which is right before the holiday season, so that we can get more publicity for the products that are made in America. Now, Mark, you're a perfect example. You have several hundred manufacturers that you can focus during American Made Month, during the month of November. How would you first like to go about contacting them to make this month, you know, very, very visible?
Yeah, I think this is so exciting, Mike. I think it's a great idea on your half. This, you know, I have 400 American manufacturer vendors right now. We grew from 50 products to 6,500 products in 4 years, but 400 vendors. So we can reach out. We have 17, 18,000 Facebook friends. We can get right to them, vendors. What I think I'm thinking of is a professional letter to them and telling them what we're up to, what we want to do. I think we can tie the American-made movie to it, possibly screenings, because I know they want to get involved and they want to get a hold of my vendors, because my vendors already get it. They're 100% made in America. So, Mike, I think it's a great place to start. I think we all can really get this going. It's perfect time of year. We're in July, plenty of time. I think November is right before the largest shopping time of the year. It's the fourth quarter.
Larkin, what would you like to add?
Well, you know, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful idea, and I think it is just maybe an additional nail in the coffin. I have seen more Made in America stickers and signs on things than I think ever in my life, and it really is kind of phenomenal. And I think this American Made Month would be just absolutely perfect. It'd be great coup d'etat.
I think it's a good opportunity for us to get all of our agendas, because we're in a reality check at this point. Major stores play a major role in what is sold in America.
And it'll give us a chance to really thank and acknowledge the 400 people that Mark has, you know, and thank them for being the foundation for the American Made movement.
Absolutely. You know, when people tell me that they walk into major stores all the time, You know, it's not that they're going in there to look only for American made. They're going in there to see and get what they want on the spot. Last week during the program, I mentioned about going in for an alarm clock for one of my constituents. I'm horrified to say I can't find an alarm clock made in the USA. A few months ago, I asked for a toaster. Mark, have you seen anybody that has a toaster available for me yet?
No toaster. I bring that story up all the time.
I mean, we're really in an uphill battle, and we have to get this thing moving because major stores only want to hear that you're going to bring products to them. They don't want to hear that they're going to have to do a lot of work to seek out those products. They want to know where the products are. I had a discussion with one of the managers just the other day, and he said to me, "Sir, I appreciate all that you have to say, but there is one big thing that I want you to know. When you deal with a major size store like we are, you have to have not tens of thousands, you have to have millions of pieces of goods to give to us because we have a major distribution system. And that distribution system is not flourishing in the USA.
And Mike, I don't think our listeners realize how much power they have, because a customer, any business, Rich, your business, any business out there has to take care of the customer. It's customer satisfaction number one. Customers are my boss in business. But customers demanding Made in America products, no matter how slow a process, makes it happen. I don't know if they connect how powerful they are. If they keep asking, keep complaining, it will happen, because we have to take care of the customer as a businessman.
So I agree completely, and I'm wondering if we oughtn't give some special consideration to products made in Mexico or Canada, to made on our continent, as opposed to stuff that's made in the Far East.
Well, I'm seeing more and more, Larkin, as I go around, that there is an awful lot of products that are made in America, also assembled in Mexico or Canada. So although Mark is 100%, the Made in America store is 100%, which is admirable, and he's done an enormous job, and he's really shown that anything and everything is possible in the USA. But some people often bring that up to me. They say, well, you know, my kid works at a place and they happen to, you know, be assembling things from other countries. I said, no problem. That is not what we're all about. We're trying to make sure that jobs stay here in the USA. We want to have assembled products here, and hopefully other countries will be assembling what we make. Right now, we're just not making enough in this country to be distributed in the USA or taken elsewhere to be assembled.
And being so close, Larkin, to Canada, I'm only half hour, 45 minutes from the border. When Canadian buses come to our store, at first I thought, boy, should I give the American flag? Should I tell the story? But you know what? They ended up loving the story. The part they loved is that I support skilled workers, because Canada lost a lot of skilled work. If it's the ice skates, there's only like one company that makes ice skates, or hockey sticks are all in China now. This was their bread and butter. This is what they did up there in Canada. So they respect the store. They respect working with skilled workers. They respect that we still need to offer this in schools. You know, suggest working with your hands. College, yes, but you can make a good living working with your hands. So they do relate to us very, very well.
Very much so. And you know, we have to make it known to everybody. And because people tell me, well, I go to the major stores because they offer more parking and it's easier access, and I get a shopping cart to do my thing and all this rigmarole. I don't get that in local stores, although I do support local national small business. They got 1,001 ways to approach me. But what I'm finding is that some people only shop at major stores, while others are now shopping only at local stores. Even if they have to pay a little more, they want to give the local store a little more ability to stay in business and stay in the community. Nobody wants to see for rent, for sale, or going out of business signs in their community anymore. So the real challenge that we're facing is getting more American-made items in every store, big stores, small stores. It's so maybe this Made in America month would help to bring people together. It may be an opportunity for us to get people from Target, Walmart, from Kmart, and everybody else. Let them come in and hear and see what's available, even if it is a Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Delaware made only product. Maybe they could be featured only in that state. Those excuses, well, you have to give it to the whole Walmart family if it's available on the list. Well, I'm sure that they're not having Walmart in Washington have bikinis all year or whatever. There are ways that you can work around that idea.
Well, Michael, this is a residual effect, though, of competition, right? Because a strong, solid business, a business that's solvent, that's paying attention to trends, what customers are demanding. Mark, ultimately, for me, for you, for all of us, we're all in business here. Our ultimate bosses are our customers, the companies and the individuals we do business with. And a residual effect, Michael, of competition is that over time, typically, quality will increase and an item, a product, will become more accessible, costs will go down or stabilize. And that's a free market tenet. And it's what I mentioned to Nick. You know, Nick's biggest challenge is not convincing people that many of the ideas that he, even if they're disagreements, so I'm not sure, Nick, I want to do that. The concepts he's talking about challenging the parties, more choice, his challenge isn't convincing people of that. Okay, it's or getting people to agree with him. His biggest challenge, rather, is convincing people that they actually can influence that. That is what ultimately the challenge is. So when I say plead the people, we're doing it all the time, guys, in business. Why is it that in our elections we have a mentality, a collective mentality, for those who do vote, of taking the best of the worst as opposed to the best of the best? And I do think a residual effect in elections, just as we see it in business, will be to increase quality of candidates and get those who truly have a want. I mean, Mark, you were in San Antonio. You were driving up, what is it, 75, the highway there? I think it's I-75. Did you notice, Mark, how many fast food hamburger stops there were up and down 75?
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's astounding, the amount of choice. And I've mentioned some other products here found at your local pharmacy that I won't get into at this moment. Look at it all. Mark, every day you're working to add choice. As I said last week, Larkin, every day, every week, you're working with businesses who have ideas, who are motivated, who have the ambition. Will they make it? Maybe, maybe not. But they're looking to do something. See, Michael, that's it. Do something.
You know, you're right. And I want to also mention this because I thought this manager at the store was really sincere. He said to me, the fact that you come in here and you're always asking, do you have any additional products made in America? He said, we need to hear that from more people. If more people walk in the door and have that on their mind, then we'll go out of our way. Right now, I hate to say it, major stores are not concerned if it's American-made or foreign-made because they feel the customer's coming in to buy it regardless. But if they keep beefing and beefing when they go in, then the store has no excuse that to say, well, the customers are asking. Also, with this American-made month, we may be able to focus on a lot of those products and get it to the attention of those managers, and then the excuse is taken off the table.
I want to read an appropriate quote at this point that kind of overwhelmed me when I read it. It was made last week, as a matter of fact. Our parents and our grandparents created the world's largest economy and the strongest middle class, not by buying stuff, but by building stuff, by making stuff, by tinkering and inventing and building, by making and selling things first in a growing national market and then in a huge international market. Stuff made in America. That quote was made last week on the 19th by President Barack Obama at a special meeting, or a special gathering that he had at the White House called, and if I can find the name real quick, It's called the White House Maker Faire. He plans to have it annually.
Yeah, I actually got a letter on that Larkin Maker Faire. My lady, Dorothy, gave it to me.
Did you? Yeah. Well, I've read a lot about what was going on, and it really is great, and it's recognition, and, you know, you give credit when credit's due. That the quote from the president, which opened the session, really kind of puts the nail right where it belongs.
You know, as you're saying that, Larkin, possibly this is an opportunity for us to motivate some of our national elected leaders and our state leaders to help us proclaim American Made Month. Let them put it on the agenda. Let them be co-sponsors. Let's see what their reaction to something like this would be.
In the worst case, you'll get a citation. That's the worst case.
Yes.
Somebody will get up and read it on the floor. It'll be put in the minutes, and you'll receive the citation. That's the worst thing that could happen.
Yes. Now, this best thing that could happen, if they really went out and started to welcome their local manufacturers, started to highlight them, people who are paying the taxes to keep them in office, people who are keeping the people employed. There's simply not enough of this type of stuff going on. The people in Washington, I mean, I've spoken to many assistant chief of staffs, but I haven't been speaking to many of the elected officials because they're so busy with all these world agendas and all. But what about America? That's the problem. What about America?
Well, listen, for all of the problems that the White House has had in the last month, and every White House seemingly has midterm, I'm surprised and delighted that President Obama would have this event and that he would open it with that kind of recognition.
Yes, no, I agree 100%. And with this, we will recognize our rendition of a special month in November, which will be right before the big holiday shopping season. Mark, I'm going to ask you to put that on your list of things to do. Rich, I'm depending on you to come up with some ideas. Steven Smolchinski's here, and Henry Chaplinski is here. He's doing his very best to keep us happy. And Larkin, whether you're on the beach or parading along South Street or whatever, I want you to come up with some ideas.
So let's not bring up the beach anymore, because guess what? I don't go to the beach until next June. So I'll be here a while.
I'm going to pause now to acknowledge a few of our sponsors, and then we'll get right back with our panel, and we'll talk more about some of the issues where we can help our American-based manufacturers expand. The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by Polka Deli, and they're located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, and also by the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, and also by Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. Look for Giorgio's where you shop. And also by Washington Savings Bank. Remember, they have 5 locations in Philadelphia to serve you, as well as from Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law. Remember, she's licensed in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And Karen Janod of State Farm Insurance wants to remind you that she handles auto, home, and life insurance plans. Do give her a call at 215-862-5490. And Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Evers Dental are located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And the Polish National Alliance, which is America's largest national life insurance organization, wants to remind you to check your life insurance plans. And if you need any type of assistance or information, give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. And Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, his office is at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. You can give him a call at 215-739-8521. And Serena's Auto Body Shop reminds you that no matter what you're looking for in the way of auto body repairs, they're there to serve you. They have 2 locations, 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia and 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And when you're in Northeast Philadelphia, don't forget that the net cost market is like taking a trip to Europe. They're located at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. That's off Byberry Road and Bustleton Avenue. And Mr. Frank Spula also sends his best wishes to you, as well as Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and his office is located in Center City, Philadelphia, as well as in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, give him a call at 215-564-1866. And Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street. For more information, give her a call at 215-739-2787. And Dominic Rostotsky has his law office on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. Give him a call at 215-575-7624. And the PRCUA is Polonia's oldest national fraternal life insurance organization. For more information about their many services, give them a call at 1-800-772-8632. And I want to mention that all of our advertisers receive a weekly link to our broadcast. They're very pleased with what we are doing, and they want me to thank Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel for adding so much flavor and also information. It's really good to hear, and they, like all of us, wish that our national leaders would come to life and make sure that change really happens in America, because business is really what makes the clock tick. Rich, what else is new?
Well, guys, holiday was great. As I mentioned last week, always so much to think about and ponder. And Michael, and to your point about you having an upcoming in the fall, a special month in particular for American Made. Larkin, your point last week, your story about asking for a product. You see, that's where that demand that I talk about comes in. You took the initiative, as I do with many products, as we all do, I'm sure. And what we're going to discover, and what I think we're pleasantly finding, is more and more products that perhaps we thought were always made overseas are being made here. And if they're even not made here, Michael, but they're close with our neighbors, Larkin, you mentioned Mexico, Canada. I play guitar, not as well as our sound engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, but I own one guitar from Vancouver. It's manufactured there. It's spectacular. And most of my other guitars are American made. And granted, that's a specialty item. It's not necessarily that kind of thing we think about when we talk about 70% consumer spending. But if you look at what so much of that spending is comprised of, what it is, Michael, is your everyday items, your everyday consumables, your everyday clothing. And a lot of that went away pretty much for quite a long time. But we're finding that more is coming back. And I'll tell you why it's coming back. Because businesses that are aware of what's going on are starting to understand that Made in America is now becoming very good for business. There's that pride. You know, Mark, you talked about the pride. Well, in business, we're in business to make money, not at any and all expenses, and I've said this before, but when something is made here and it comes with that American quality, the president's quote, that's what it's about. Guys, stuff that we import now is all invented here.
Especially, Rich.
It's all invented here.
Especially everything that is surrounding us. Cell phones, computers, televisions, light bulbs, toasters, and 1,001 other items. They don't have American-made labels. Everything you touch, everything you look at, everything we're sitting around right now, all has a foreign label. I want to restore the competition with the world. Bring back these products, at least 50-50. Even if we get to 60-40, I'll be happy.
And
but
Mike,
right now, we're at such a low volume, it's scary.
And Mike, last week I talked about Texas and the pride. But Rich, you built your business. I built my business from scratch. Larkin, you deal with entrepreneurs all the time. Mike, you've got your business. But there's a pride when you build something. You build your business. You take pride in it. You're proud of your product. You're building a quality product. And you want it to go out there and service the people well that bought it. And then you want it to, you know, come back and hopefully get future work. So this all ties together to the American dream. But we always built quality products. We were more than 50% of the world's economy back in the 50s, 60s. There's no reason we can't get there again with new technology. I think it's awesome the amount that Americans, the best thing about America is Americans. We are determined people, and we get the job done, and we don't quit. And that's just an awesome problem to have in this country.
We have everything in place to have a healthy economy. We have a government that's a democracy, a republic. Rich, I guess, would say a republic. Whatever. I mean, so many nations around the world think they're positioned to really become something of a force in the world economy don't have what we have. And there's so little that we have to do in order to reinstall or instill that pride in what we do. And the first thing would be to get everybody out to vote. That would be my first step.
Yeah, well, that you're right.
And Larkin, it's a trust we got to build back, right? We need a trust. We need to trust the government. We need to know everybody's working together for the good of the good. We need to trust and have faith in each other. And, you know, that's why one country, one goal, you know, to get healthy, get self-sufficient. Let's do this together. And that's what we've lost. But as we build that trust moving forward, when you say 15, 20% of the people only voted, it's incredible.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Larkin, I'll follow up your comment with one of my favorite isms, which is I'm pessimistic about the future, because I'll tell you guys, in my opinion, there's no worse thing than wasted potential. And here in America, I've never lived anywhere else. I still believe, all things considered, we're still the best place to be. But having said that, when we have that consumer power, that voter power, and we don't at least attempt to utilize its potential, unfortunately, it is wasted. And this is our challenge. It's a challenge for Nick. It was Dave Brat's challenge against Eric Cantor. But what you see is that when people feel like they can actually make that change and that influence, here comes the free market tenant again. People are going to want to get on board. I've no doubt. We've got it here. We're not in Egypt or Ukraine, two countries Egypt, another resounding foreign policy success, LOL. I mean, look at every few years. They need to, what has to get done there just to get something going. We don't, for any kind of change, we don't need to do that. We don't have to do those things. But if we don't utilize the information we have, we don't utilize that power we have, the hardest part is convincing ourselves collectively that we actually can enact those change and influence things. Not baby steps. Baby steps are for three-year-olds. You know, I'm talking about, man, adult stuff here, guys. That's what I mean. And all of this is all interconnected.
Yep.
From labor, economy, our elections, health care, all of these things. They are all interconnected. And no, I don't think government at any level is the end-all, be-all savior. However, strong governments at central and local levels undoubtedly help along businesses. I mean, Mark, would you say that's true?
Yes. Yeah. I think you're right on, Rick. You know, we just have to continue to grow business, like you say all the time, too. I mean, we're in business to make money. We have to keep the lights on. We have to feed families. And, again, I'm almost up to 55, 60 livelihoods. People, again, always forget that the livelihoods that business create, and that's the idea here that we're always missing. You buy American, that helps the factory. Not only the factory, that helps the 10, 20 people tied to that factory, the spider web effect. And a lot of people don't understand that whole manufacturing chain and the process and the supply chain, which is very important. One item you buy, I think World News said it best, if you spent $64 a year, one individual American, you create 200,000 jobs. That's incredible.
You know, Mark, I have to add here that in the few weeks ago, we had a bus from Philadelphia come to your store, and everybody was so enthusiastic to be there. It was really a great, great occasion. They had the great cookies that your wife made, and they met your mom and your dad and the Dorothy and the whole crew. They really left there with a great feeling. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is create good feelings for people to want to go out and support their fellow Americans.
Yeah, that bus, Mike, of course, I was down in Texas. I was concerned because, you know, Teresa was on the show and knows you. But my wife makes this killer chocolate chip cookie. I'm going to send each of you some now that I brought it up. But they're like a little survival cookie. People come in, they've timed the buses so they can get the cookie. But Teresa came down. I had the opportunity. I got back from Texas that Friday right after she was down. She was the 300th bus, which was amazing, from Philadelphia. And I called her. She had given me a gift, the Polish flag and the American flag and a little stand. But she had an awesome time, and I apologize. I couldn't meet her myself, but I think my family, and she kind of gets the idea. The Made in America store in Elma outside of Buffalo it's the Happyville, I call it. People have a good time seeing what inventors are making, what entrepreneurs are come up with. It shows nostalgic things, the old Slinky or educational toys, but it shows what Americans are making, and people are, and they're awakened sometimes. We only make one light bulb in the country. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
but after they leave the store, they're flipping over everything. They want to see what stuff is made. That's what I love. But Teresa's bus was outstanding. Mike, thank you for the connection.
Well, they were happy to be there, and hopefully they weren't able to meet you this time, but maybe the next trip in a year or two to the area, because a lot of people are calling. They want to go on a return trip, or new people. They had a big waiting list to get up there. So they will be up again. And if they can't meet you there in your store, maybe you're going to have to come down to Philadelphia and we'll do some special event, and you'll have a chance to meet all of them again.
I will. I did personally call her 2-3 times. We talked that Saturday night. We talked Sunday morning before she left town. So it was all real good, but great Philadelphia people.
So maybe even when you come down here, you can bring those chocolate chip cookies. I happen to be, I'm a resident expert in chocolate chip cookies. I know a good one when I see one. I make the best chocolate chip cookie in the world.
I think you're going to love these, Lark.
And I've done illegal and illicit things to get my hand on chocolate chip cookies.
You know, possibly.
Hey, Lark, did you just say you put illegal and illicit
No, I didn't. I didn't say that, although many years ago, back in the 60s, I added more than flour to a couple of my chocolate chip cookies.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know it's almost that time again. I want to say thank you to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, to Stephen Smolchinski, to Larkin Connolly, to Mark Andel, and to Rich Logis. And also thanks to Nick Triano for being here with us. Thanks to all of our sponsors. We are doing our very best. Please go out and do your very best to support everything possible made in America. And if you don't find something that's made in America at one particular store, maybe shop around. Until next Wednesday at 11, stay well and be happy.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great week, guys.